from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio. Here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It's good to be with you. We're here for a good 12 solid minutes with my pal Bernie Miklas. I love this segment so much. How are you, Bern?
I'm doing good. Trying to watch some Wimbledon this morning and can't wait for Cardinals baseball. Can't wait for the draft. I mean, it's a really great Sunday of sports. We got City playing, as you know, I heard you talking to Lutz, and be nice to see them get a win at home.
Yeah, and you know, rarely does Mo giggle in our meeting here on sports on a Sunday morning at 11:30, but he seemed genuinely fired up about this draft. And why shouldn't he be? I mean, fifth pick in the draft, they're going to get somebody great.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what'll happen. Because I think the draft Knicks that I pay attention to and I think do a really good job, and you know, of course, no one can guess everything right, but they've all got pretty good sources and they get information. So I'm thinking it's going to be this young shortstop who's 17 years old, Willits, out of a high school shortstop in Oklahoma. His dad was a outfielder for the Angels and also a coach for the Yankees. So he comes from a great background. And you know, the fact that he's 17 kind of makes me nervous. I don't know why, but he's apparently apparently a five-tool player. So, you know, do you take him if you have him the highest rated player on the board, do you stick with that? Or do you look at, well, we don't have much separation. Let's just say hypothetically, you know, the Florida State pitcher, the lefty named Arnold, who is very, very highly rated. If they have those two guys kind of even, do you go for the pitcher? Because you really do need starting pitching, and you got to kind of replenish that stock. That's always fascinates me about what teams do, because everybody, you know, you talk to baseball people, they said, no, you can't draft for need. You just can't. You got to take the best talent on the board when you pick. So I'll be curious to see what'll happen tonight, because like you said, I think they're going to get potentially a great player. So we'll see what happens.
I agree. It'll be really interesting to see what happens here. Here's a player who the Cardinals were able to put into the mix, and he's 25 years old, and this guy might be their best hitter. And it's Ivan Herrera. He is in the lineup today. He is the DH. I see him at number two in the order as we're getting some reporting from the clubhouse. The first I had heard of it was Joe Pott putting eyes on it when he walked in the clubhouse today. He saw Ivan before the lineup started to leak out. I asked Mozeliak about that. He said, we're going to announce a move here shortly. I can't give it to you just yet. But Herrera's back in there. A welcome sight.
Yeah. I think it's a good little, it's only one game, but I still think when he walked in there ready to go and his name was in the lineup, I'm pretty sure that had to give Cardinals a little bit of an upbeat kick, you know, a little more a little more positivity, a little more of a boost morale-wise, because it's been, you know, the first two games were tough. But listen, I'm not going to give you a bunch of numbers, but let me just leave you at this. You talk about what a great hitter Herrera is. Among National League hitters this season that have 170 plate appearances, he's fourth in batting average, sixth in on-base percentage, 12th in slugging, and sixth in OPS. And if you go OPS plus, he's fifth. So we're basically talking about an all-around top five hitter in the National League.
Cardinals just officially submitted their lineup. Donovan, Herrera, Burleson, Contreras, Sejacy, Wynn, Fermin, Pajes, Scott. Fermin is the left fielder today. Sejacy at third base. Arenado still dealing with that finger injury. Newt has the side injury. We'll see what they end up doing there. But, yeah, this has just been a frustrating week. I mean, first the whole wait to see if Fetty was going to start on Saturday, then – yeah, you know, they get beat twice in one-run games. I just, you know, I'm now back to just understanding that this is a year in development. I'm trying not to get too excited about the team when they start to creep up in the standings. I'm trying to be real about it.
Yeah, Tom, it's funny because just imagine me a vision in your head of me like sitting in a chair pondering the fate of the Cardinals. Like I was like sitting in a chair just thinking hard about this, just losing myself in thought. And you know, the thing of it is I think it's really important between now and the trade deadline. I mean, it's one game today and then you come out of it and then you're going to be right on top of the trade deadline after the first three games, first six games. But here's what I come back to, and maybe this is my pragmatic side, right? You're right. It is a season of development. But in terms of, I just look at, okay, how is a team trending? And if you look at the first 3 months, for example, you know, April, it's actually the, it's actually the first 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a really impressive run differential. But since the beginning of June, I can't talk today. I don't know what's wrong. I apologize.
I was like that the other day.
Unbelievable. You know, so it's like, get the marbles out. But since the beginning of June, they're like a minus 21 run differential. And that kind of stuff tells you where a team is, you know. And to just extend the point a little bit, you know, since the 1st of June, the Cardinals' overall ERA is 27th. And the pitching's really gone south. The starting pitching ERA since the start of June is tied for 29th. The bullpen's been fine. On the offense, has really just kind of gone down. I mean, it's still capable of producing. Don't get me wrong, but we don't have to tell our listeners that there's just been, you know, starting in late May, there's just been way too many games where they score two runs, one run, no run, and so it's very, very inconsistent. So if we look at this pragmatically, and if you look at the teams they're competing with, many of whom have for a wild card, many of whom spend a lot more on players this year. And also those teams, frankly, have had a lot more injuries than the Cardinals. So they're getting people back now. And frankly, those teams are more talented than the Cardinals. I'm just looking at it pragmatically. And so my conclusion where I sit today is they got to be realistic. I mean, this thing is trending in the wrong direction virtually every single area, and you've done it where I know the Cardinals are banged up, and I get it, but compared to other teams have just gotten annihilated with injuries, and the Cardinals have actually been really fortunate. So I think they can't take their eye off of what this season was supposed to be about. Yeah, they can be 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, but do you think if you don't like have a chance to sell off some players and you don't do that, you know, and who knows, maybe they would get something really good for Ryan Helsley. Maybe, you know, I would think that Maton would be, you know, very coveted. I think Mats would, there'd be a market for him. And I'm just naming those three guys. You know, do you hold on to them when you have a chance to strengthen your future? And then at the end of the season, to use the cliche, you're left holding the bag. You've got nothing to show for it because you didn't make the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, they're buyers and sellers together right now. And then the way this thing goes in the next couple of weeks, if it starts to move that they're going to be out of it, there'll be more sellers than buyers. But I think they'll be active, nothing crazy. But, man, you got to start thinking about the future. I mean, that's the whole point.
And I really do believe they have three valuable players to take to the market, those three pitchers I mentioned. I'm not saying you're going to transform your franchise by what you get back. But I think you can definitely reinforce the talent you have and have some guys that will be part of your future, just the way when they traded Montgomery to the Rangers. I mean, they got Sejacy in that deal. We love him. He's going to be a really good player. And then I think Tecoa Roby is going to be a good, like, say, number three starting pitcher for the Cardinals. So that's a really good example. Even when they traded Paul DeJong to Toronto, they got Swanson, this relief pitcher. This guy's good. He's good. This is a piece for not only now, but for the future. So I would just reference to that. You can trade guys that are not superstar players and still get a really good return in value. And John Mozeliak made good trades in these instances. So do it again. I mean, as I just really believe, you know, do it again. Now, Listen, if they come out of the All-Star break and they win their first two series or whatever, I don't know, maybe revisit it. But my pragmatic side is kind of overruling my dreamer side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, this show covers all sports. And with a couple minutes to go, I want to close with this because I can't do a Sports on a Sunday Morning and not mention John Kelly, who's one of the more classy people I've ever come across. And I love Chris Kerber. We all know that. And everybody involved, Tom Stillman, Chris Zimmerman's been a great colleague and professional. I mean, everybody in this thing that the Blues announced this last week is a friend. So that's why I struggle with it. I just was floored that it was John Kelly who got left without a chair. I mean, that will be a major adjustment for me.
Tom, it's so disappointing, you know, not just for John, who is and when it comes to broadcasting in St. Louis sports, he is a institution. He's a legend. He's iconic. He's right there with his father. And, you know, John Kelly has been such an important part of Blues hockey over the last 20 years. And he's incredibly generous with fans. He gets involved in the community and he's very popular. And I have to say this one, I'll use your word, this one floored me, because if it's any other team, you say, well, listen, these things happen. You know, these things happen. The Blues are so classy. And I did a video at STL Sports Central about that a couple weeks ago about, you know, they set the standard for just doing everything right, just from top to bottom. And it just stuns me that they signed off on this decision. And I don't know what kind of pressure might have been put on them by FanDuel Sports. I don't know. But some of the stuff that Chris Zimmerman said, I was just like, whoa, this is John Kelly. This isn't some guy you put in the booth like 3 years ago or whatever. It's John Kelly. I mean, his father's banner hangs from the rafters. This is the name Kelly, two generations of great hockey broadcasters of Blues games. Those guys, they're not disposable. I'm sorry. They're just not. John Kelly is not disposable. And so I'm just stunned that it happened. But Tom, to be totally candid, as I just said, I'm really stunned that the Blues made the decision and Chris Zimmerman said they signed off on it. So, you know, so two of those things are stunning. The fact that he's gone and the fact that Tom Stillman and company just said, okay, you know, I guess we have to move on. I mean, I really don't even know what to say. I've said plenty, but if you start replaying it in your mind, it's still like, happened there?
Yeah. And it's a tough reality of our changing business. I will say, I wish Kerbs and Joey all the best because they are super, super talented, incredibly hardworking, trustworthy, loved individuals within that organization. Right. And I just hope the best for them. Byrne,
everything we're saying, it has nothing to do with Kerbs and Joey.
No, I mean, of course. Great.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we love those guys, but it's just John Kelly. Anyway,
any of these,
I know you got to go, so thank you.
But yeah, any of these transitions are tough when it comes to this business and anything in sports for that matter. Bernie, you're the best, man. Have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you soon.
You take care, man.
Thanks for joining us.